I chose some scripture in the book of John, first chapter this morning. Title this, To Behold the Lamb. In John chapter 1 and verse 29, says, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. We drop down to verse 35, and again the next day after John stood, and two of his disciples, and looking up on Jesus as he walked, he said, Behold the Lamb of God. My question is this morning, how do we look upon Jesus? Or what think you of Jesus? I believe this is personal opinion, but I believe that different people look upon Jesus in different ways. Some hold the Lord to a greater height, greater respect, greater zeal, greater love than others. Now, I'm not saying that just because you don't have this great high love for the Lord that you don't love the Lord, or that you don't have a great high zeal for the Lord that you don't have a zeal for the Lord. But I'd like to consider the different ways that ones have looked upon Jesus. First of all, John the Baptist saw Jesus as the Son of God. These scriptures here I skipped. But in John 1, 29 through 34, says, the next day, I read this, and the next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man which is preferred before me. For he was before me, and I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him, and I knew him not. But he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. John saw him as the Son of God. How do you see him? Peter saw Jesus as a Christ. Tells us in Matthew 16, 13 through 7, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, Some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, But whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood have not revealed it to you. Now, I want to point that out. Flesh and blood, I can tell you about Jesus, but that's not going to reveal it to you. It has to be God. Flesh and blood have not revealed it to you, but my Father which is in heaven. If you remember, Peter denied the Lord, even cursed the Lord. It tells us in Mark 14, verse 70, he was there when the Lord was taken, and they accused him of being one of his followers, and he denied it. But anyway, a little after, they that stood by him again said again to Peter, Surely thou art one of them, for thou art a Galilean, for thy speech agreeth thereunto. But he began to curse and to swear, saying, I know not this man whom you speak. You know, just because that we see Jesus as the Christ, that we believe in Jesus, don't mean that we have no sin. We all have sin to repent of from time to time when we sin. We repent, we move on with our lives. Peter sinned, but he also stood on the day of Pentecost and he preached, and there's some 3,000 souls added into the church. I remember talking to a guy about him and his wife and asking him why he didn't. He professed to be a Christian, professed to believe. And I asked him why they didn't go to church. And his answer was that his wife had been divorced and had remarried, and she just felt like she was living in adultery. God has a reason, purpose for us. When we sin, that doesn't stop our lives. We are to repent of our lives and move on. Thomas saw Jesus as Lord and God. Tells us in John 20, 26 through 28, and after 8 days, first time Jesus appeared to his disciples, Thomas wasn't there, if you remember. But he appeared again 8 days later, and after 8 days again, his disciples were within and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst. And mind you, our Lord is in the midst today. And said, "Peace be unto you." Then said he to Thomas, "Reach hither thy fingers and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing." And Thomas answered and said unto him, "My Lord and my God." That's what Jesus should be to us if he's our Savior. Paul met the Lord on the road to Damascus, and his life was changed. Instead of trying to destroy the Lord's church, he spent the rest of his life exalting the Lord and his church. Have you met the Lord? Has your life been changed? When you meet the Lord, it is a life-changing experience. When God quickens us in Christ Jesus, we have new life within. We have a new heart. That's going to come out in the way we live. Now, I've mentioned these and how they beheld the Lord differently, just as we tend to do. But they were born again children of God. They were quickened in Christ Jesus, just as we that believe have been quickened in Christ Jesus. But there were some others that beheld the Lord. Beheld the Lamb of God. But they didn't look upon Christ as being God in the flesh. They didn't look upon Christ as being the Messiah, the chosen of God. Begin with Nicodemus. Was Nicodemus saved? I can't answer that. I hope, pray he was. I think he was, but that don't mean he was. But Nicodemus looked upon Jesus as being a teacher from God. A lot of people today, they look upon Jesus, well, he was a good man. That don't save them. He's one of the prophets. I understand that the Muslims would consider Jesus to be a prophet. I don't save them. Being a teacher from God, looking at Jesus as a teacher of God, I don't save him. He had to believe that Jesus was the Christ. Tells us in John 3:1-2, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, "Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him." A lot of people, I believe Jesus from God. A lot of people, I believe in God, but they don't believe Jesus was God. Just believing there's a God don't save you. You can believe there's a God and go to hell. Pilate found no fault in Jesus, yet he permitted him to be scourged, mocked, crucified. He was a ruler. Our rulers, our government, are supposed to protect the innocent, yet Pilate permitted an innocent man to be put to death. Jesus had no sin, had no fault. In John 19, 1 through 6, then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. He found no fault in him. Why did he scourge him? And the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put on him a purple robe and said, "Hail, King of the Jews," and they smote him with their hands. Pilate therefore went forth again and said unto them, "Behold, I bring him forth to you, that you may know that I find no fault in him." Then came Jesus forth wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, and Pilate said unto him, "Behold the man." When the chief priests therefore and the officers saw him, they cried out, saying, "Crucify him, crucify him." Pilate saith unto them, "Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him." Later on, we find in Matthew 27, in verse 24, where Pilate washed his hands of Jesus. It says, when Pilate saw that he could not, that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a turmoil was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, "I am innocent of the blood of this just man. See ye to it." Heard a preacher preach one time that Pilate's in hell still trying to wash the blood off of his hands. It's innocent blood now. I can't say that he's, but I can say he can remember. He stood before the sinless Son of God, and he can remember he found no fault in him. He can remember washing his hands. The chief priest rejected Jesus as their king in John 19:15. But they cried out, "Away with him, away with him, crucify him." Pilate said unto them, "Shall I crucify your king?" And the chief priests answered, "We have no king but Caesar." They didn't see Jesus as the Lamb of God, the Messiah, the Son of God. They didn't see him as king, as Lord and Master, as Lord and God. It tells us in 1 Timothy 1:15, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. This brings us a question. Are you a sinner? According to Romans 3:23, it says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is not one that is sinless except the sinless of the Son of God, Jesus the Christ." We have all sinned. So it's not so much as are you a sinner, but what do you believe about Jesus? See, you believe Jesus as the Christ? Or you believe Jesus just a good man? Do you find no fault in him, but you don't bow to him? Do you reject him as your king? See, what you do with Jesus is going to determine where you spend eternity. In Romans 10:12-14 says, "For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed?" You can talk to people, but until they believe that Jesus is the Christ. No, Peter, he stepped out on the water. Why did he step out on the water? He had a little faith. But he looked around and he seen the waves begin to boil. And he began to sink. Who did he call upon? He cried out to Jesus, "Lord, save me." Why did he cry out to Jesus? Because he knew that God could save, or knew Jesus could save him. You have to believe. And how shall they believe in whom they have not heard? No. Lord quickens one. They need to hear about it. They hear about Jesus. That's why we preach the gospel. So they will know who quickened them, who made them alive, who they are to believe in, who they are to give praise and glory to. How shall they hear without a preacher? I'd like to talk a little bit about Jesus the Christ, point out some things about him. But Jesus was in the beginning. He was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. It tells us that in John 1 through 4. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Christ, the eternal Word, was in the beginning. He is the reason things was made. He is the reason he is the one that made things. He spoke these things into existence. Let there be light, and there was light. When he speaks to a lost sinner, as he spoke to Lazarus, you come forth believing. Tells us in John 1:14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Have you beheld Christ? Apostle John says they had beheld. God had dwelt among them, and they had beheld his glory. Jesus was born of a virgin, conceived by the Holy Ghost. Well, not all people believe that, but this is very important. If Jesus was not born of a virgin, then our faith is in vain. Because if Jesus wasn't born of a virgin, he was a mere man. It tells us in Matthew 1:18-25, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now this was all done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from the sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not. I won't point that out, knew her not. So she brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Where was Jesus before he was made flesh? Did Jesus just come into existence when he was born? He took upon a body when he was born. Before he was made flesh, he was with God the Father in his glory. In John chapter 17, verses 1 through 5, these words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes into heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Now this is what separates us from other Baptists. I believe in election, predestination, these things. Brought out this morning in our Sunday school, my sheep hear my voice. I know them, they follow me. Are you one of the Lord's sheep? See, the Lord didn't come save the goats. He came to save his sheep. Told us in Matthew, he shall save his people. He died for a particular people. Going on here, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on earth. I have finished the work which thou givest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thy own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Christ Jesus was in his glory before the world was created. Now, it was Jesus that gave himself to the cross in our place. No man taketh his life from him. He did this so we could be reconciled back to God. In John 15:12 through 14, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. And in John 10:15 through 18, as the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. I lay down my life for the sheep, and other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. Who's these other sheep? Gentiles. We were brought into the fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and they shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Oh, the Lord could call legions of angels that took him down from the cross. He could call legions of angels and not went to the cross. He could call legions of angels and not been taken into custody or taken prisoner there in the Garden of Gethsemane. But he freely gave himself in our place for our sins. We preach the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection. Well, the gospel goes beyond that. But this is the good news. Jesus died to save sinners. He was buried, but the grave couldn't hold him. He arose. That's where my hope is. It's in a risen Savior, a resurrected Savior. And those that believe that Jesus is the Christ, they've also been resurrected from the spiritual dead. They've been raised up to walk in newness of life. Bible speaks of the first resurrection. If you've had part in the first resurrection, some look at this as, well, that's the first resurrection. This is a bodily resurrection. The first resurrection is a spiritual resurrection. You were quickened in Christ Jesus. That means you were made alive. You was raised up spiritually. Ephesians 2:10. This was also brought out in Sunday school this morning. It's good to be in Sunday school. Amen. For a week, I'm talking to about believers. If you're not a believer, you haven't been created in Christ Jesus yet. Amen. You're not part of his workmanship. It says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. I've already said this, but if you've been quickened in Christ Jesus, you're a new creature. That is going to show in your life. is going to be evidence. I ask you the question, how do you behold the sinless Lamb of God this morning? Do you see him as Pilate? Well, I find no fault in him. He's just a good man. Nicodemus, teacher from God. It's the Pharisees. They were religious people. But they wouldn't have him for Christ. They didn't see him as the Messiah. Wouldn't accept him as the Messiah. I put it that way. In 1 John 5, 1 through 5, it says, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. We've been born again. When Nicodemus come to Jesus, Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. And everyone that loveth him, that begot, loveth him also that is begotten of him. This is a good rule of thumb. Test if you've been born again. You love your brothers and sisters in Christ. It says, by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. You keep the Lord's commandments. There's a commandment in Hebrews. It seems a lot of professing Christians have forgotten. Yeah. It tells us in Hebrews 10, verse 24 and 25, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. I know it's hard to encourage or provoke one to love and good works so they don't, if you don't assemble with them. We're supposed to assemble together. We're supposed to be an encouragement to each other. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. This is a victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. My brother Dan brought it, was talking about this morning about listening to some guy going down through a list of things you had to do to be saved. And say the sinner's prayer and this and that. And then, I'm not against praying. I believe you need to pray. You need to repent. You need to profess. But that don't save you. Salvation is simple. You believe. Can't put it no simpler. John 3:18 says, he that believeth is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. If you don't believe, you stand before God condemned. His wrath is hovering over you. If you believe, Jesus took that wrath for you. If you don't believe and you die in your unbelief, you will spend your eternity in the devil's hell. Ain't going to be no maybes. Ain't going to be no second chances. Some have this idea that when the Lord calls everybody forth, that they're going to stand before Christ, and once again they're going to have a chance to accept Christ as their Savior. Ain't going to be no second chances. You die in your sins, you will spend eternity in hell. The jailer come to Paul and Silas, shaking, asking this question in Acts 16 and verse 30, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. My question is this morning, Are you concerned about where you're going to spend eternity? So the jailer was concerned. What must I do to be saved? Are you concerned? If you are, I can only tell you, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you'll be saved. I'll ask Brother Dan, our pianist, to come and give a song of invitation. There is no one here. Everyone that knows the Lord, the rich man, he lifted up his eyes in heaven, and he seen Lazarus far off, and his concern was for his brother. No one in hell was there.
Let's all stand, won't we? 502.
All to Jesus I surrender. Jesus.